Blog Talk Radio.
Question I kind of set before us, seeing it in this parable, is do we have that abundance or are we just barely getting by? And as I said, it's relating, all of this is relating to love and obedience. The first two servants that we met there, they had, we would call it a love, a good relationship with their master. They took him at his word. They received the talents that he gave them, and they worked with it. The third one, what kind of relationship did he have? He was suspicious, unloving, unkind, and he ends up with nothing. You see, love will produce a joyful obedience. Not just an obedience, oh, I have to do this, but a joyful obedience. And you don't even think about it, really. It's just an outflow of that love that you have for God. What we do for our wives, for our children, for our parents, is an outflow of the love that's within us. It's not sitting down and calculate, well, da-da-da-da. But it's an overflow And the more of the reality of God that's filling us, the greater is the overflow. So love produces a joyful obedience. But then what about the third guy, the lack of love? And he just illustrates for us that a lack of love produces self-centeredness. I am the center of my universe. And we use the word I a lot. I like, I don't like. I want, I won't. I will, I. No amount of glasses will help that. Eye trouble. Only Jesus. But a lack of love produces that self-centeredness. And self-centeredness produces disobedience. Disobedience produces rebellion. And what is rebellion? God tells in his word, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is saying, I'll decide. I'll make my own decisions. I'll have the last word. The third servant in our parable thought he had the last word too. But there was still one word past the last word. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my word. And as God dwells within us, that produces more abundance. And so we see here in this parable, when the accounting is given, the one with the five came and said, I have worked with this, I have five more. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been a faithful in this, I'm going to put you in charge of a lot. See, more. The one with two was faithful with two. And his master said what? I will give you charge over more. Much. And the third? What does he do with his talent? The master said, take it away from him and give it to the one who has ten. Now, if you read this parable in the other gospel, some of the people have a little argument about that. They say, but Master, he already has ten. And what has Jesus answered? To the one who has, will more be given. But from him who has not, even what he presumes to have will be taken from him. Jesus said, I came to give you life in that more abundantly. So are we living a life in its more abundance, or are we just sort of getting by? And when we get by, or try to get by, or are getting by, we end up with nothing. Just like that third of the servants that we see in our parable. And so it says that he that has, to him will more be given. And from him that has not, even what he has will be taken away. That's the way of abundance. And the reality of the treasure that we've talked about is Jesus himself, isn't it? I was glad we sang this song today. You know, we only need Jesus. Right? And you know why we only need Jesus? Because he's all there is. There isn't anything else or anyone else. We sing it, no one else will do. But do we try to live with something else when we leave the confines of this pleasant atmosphere? You see, he who loves the Lord will keep his word. And so we make that declaration. And most of you know that's one of the guiding scriptures in my life. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth, there is no one that I desire beside you. You know, the sooner we settle that issue, the simpler life becomes. We'd have to sort through all kinds of stuff. We've settled We've settled an issue in that respect. And so, you know, the point is, we could, and you've heard probably, maybe you've even been in those arguments and discussing, well, what are the talents and what does it all mean? See, we can waste a lot of time on non-essential stuff. But what Jesus is saying is, he's talking about love, obedience, faithfulness, diligence. Talking about having that real treasure. When I was reading this scripture, I couldn't help but think of that song that I think many of you, or at least some of you, learned like way back when some of you remember the Cameron family. They were a group of singers, you know. But they had a neat song. It said, I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus. So what? I'll give him more of me. And the point is, we want to live that life so that we've given away all of me. And then we have all of Jesus. Some of you know this song? Who knows this song? Wendy does. Some of us know it. Okay. Well, then enough of us can... Well, I just sing it there. We don't have to be perfect or anything. As if we could be anyway. I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. Even before Jesus came, John the Baptist understood that principle, didn't he? He must increase, I must decrease. But you know, a whole lot of erroneous teaching has crept into the church to say, well, you're the important one. No, Jesus is the important one. And my importance is only as great as I make Jesus great.